ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
ओके टॉप ऑफ 5 It is important to note how Bhishma Dev, although on his deathbed, properly received all great personalities, Srila Prabhupada explains. Expert religionists know perfectly well how to adjust religious principles in terms of time and place. All the great acharyas or religious teachers or reformers of the world executed their mission by adjustment of religious principles in terms of time and place. They are different, though, so it's important to note here, this is a very important section here, is that this time and place, then one has to be able to appreciate how the principle will never be lost. So that means if you want to make an adjustment according to time and place, then you have to know what is the principle that you're applying, right? Just like, let's say, I'm cooking. So I have to know cooking to be able to whether I'm cooking for 2 people or whether I'm cooking for 20. You understand? But if you don't know cooking, it doesn't really have any meaning. You understand? So it's adjustment. It's not throwing out. This idea, we don't have to worry about the Vedic because it's the modern times. Like that. What does that mean? You know, what is different? People don't eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Right? That's changed. They don't do that anymore. Right? Right? Okay. It means that right there, that's a PG movie. Right? You used to have a higher rating, but now that's just normal. Ho, ho. Okay, nobody lives in a place, some kind of what they call their place to stay, right? Nobody is attached to family or friends. Nobody thinks they're their body. Nobody thinks I'm the mind. Nobody is attached to living eternally. No one's looking for nice relationships. Right? All this has changed in the modern times, yes? You understand? What's changed? Because you use an iPhone instead of writing a letter using a quill, what's changed? You're still communicating. In other words, people who don't understand the principles that are working, they think it's changed. It's the same old chewing the chewed. You know, if I take a piece of sugar cane and run it through the mill, right? It comes out flat. Okay, so now that's one. Now if I take it and fold it in half, right? Now it's so different, right? I run it through again, you know? Right? Then I fold it again. Oh, it's so different. Just see the change. Right, I run it through again. Now it's getting really flat. So I take it and I twist it. You know, and then run it through. Oh, what a difference. Do you understand? That's what's the reality. But because we're attached to the material world, we think, no, it's different. We're attached to ourselves. So because I'm in this time, this is the unique time. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
What is it, the belly poch?
Belly
poch. Huh? Belly poch. Belly poch. Right? Everybody thinks, I am the belly pop. You know, the golden age has arrived. You understand? This is a major problem. That's why we depend upon the acharyas, because the acharyas see through all this. You know? They see through all this. All this talk of modern was going on in the 60s, and now we talk about 60s. People laugh about the 60s. As I said, I went to Mowillenbaugh, and they thought, okay, here's senior devotee should talk to the kids, you know, like this. We sat down with the kids out on the lawn. The first question was, were you a hippie before you joined? And all the kids started cracking up laughing because they thought the hippies were the weirdest thing they had ever heard of. Right? And then you had the 70s. Like, you don't even talk about the 70s, right? It's just so out of it. Right? Then that kind of so-called liberal, extending it how much you can, but getting no substance out of it, 80s. And then now the politically correct 90s, you know. It's each one, it's every 10 years, it's something totally different that absolutely nobody cares about. And each time they all thought, we're the modern man. You know, but the term modern, I think that goes way back to, I'm not sure how long back it goes. But technically, you know, we're past post-postmodern. You know, somehow or another they can't think of a new name, but, you know. And they're only holding out at post-postmodern because that's what they're doing. But the kids that are coming up now, they're already on another one. You understand? So each generation thinks we're the modern man. You understand? That's the problem. So you actually have to be able to see through that to be able to deal with time, place, and circumstance. Otherwise, if you think, I will please the people, what people have ever been pleased? Name the people in history that we know of were pleased. I mean, the only ones I know of that you hear about directly that the citizens were happy were at the time of Lord Ramachandra. That we hear about, yes, Ramachandra said, they were happy. Yudhishthira Maharaj, you just know, goes on, but he's so short time in office that you don't hear about it. You know what I'm saying? So that's then, and that's, what's that? That's Treta Yuga, so that puts it, you know, a million some years ago, maybe even a bit more, 2 million years ago. You know? So, yes, it did happen. You know? Yeah, but...
Don't hold your breath.
Yeah, don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath. So, the difficulty is it's very important, this point, the adjustment of religious principles. That means you don't lose the religious principles, you don't throw them out. You adjust them, but adjust means not according to whim, but according to what is sanctioned. You know? Does that make sense? But just like if you don't have honey, you use gur or molasses. You know what I'm saying? That's how you make adjustments. Shastras give that adjustment. So it's just because they know that it's very rare that you always have everything perfect. Right? Why do we hear about these big yajnas of these special kings? Janamejaya's yajna, we hear of Yudhishthira's Rajasuya. There was no detail, I mean zero detail on the three Ashwamedha yajna. He just said he did them. Rajasuya goes into quite a lot of detail. It means, you know, Krishna's taking care of the shoes, Bhima's cooking, you know, it gets into that kind of detail. So these are special. These are ones where everything worked out. They were able to get everything. You know what I'm saying? It means that you got to have dirt from two sides of a river. You have to have dirt from a mountaintop. And that's, you know, that's just your pot of dirt that you plant the seeds in 9 days before you start to see if it's going to be auspicious. You know, how much time does it take to get from two sides of the river, you know? You know, we're not meaning that, you know, irrigation canal, you know. We're talking about the sacred river, right? You know what I'm saying? And then where the sacred river are, do you have mountaintops? No. So that's in another place, you know. You understand? So they don't even talk about it. So they just bring out the elements of these big sacrifices because the arrangements to the endeavor to make that happen is so great. Right? So then Prabhupada says, you know, you build up, make a little nice place, clear, put some sand, decorate with fruits and some flowers. That's time and circumstance. Say, oh, this is too much. That's a lazy man. That's a man who doesn't know what he's talking about. It's already been reduced down to nothing. You understand? It's reduced down to nothing already. And then we say, time and circumstance. What do you mean? What do we know about time and circumstance? If we knew so much about time and circumstance, how come before we joined, we weren't rich and famous? You know, powerful, influential, tons of friends, happy. Right? But we didn't have any of that. That's why we're sitting here. Huh? What's it? We are the losers. Okay. Right. That's the reality. And then there's one or two examples that they do have stuff and still it doesn't work for them, right? You know, so that's the thing. Expert religionists, not people who don't know religion. The Goswamis had everything. They're top great Brahmins. They can do all these different things. They give that up. Being prime minister of a country, they give that up. Being the treasurer for the country, they give that up. You know, I think Anupam, I think, what did we read? He was the secretary or something. He was something in there. Or assisting one or the other of his brothers. So, you know, that means you don't get bigger than that in the country. You know? I mean, basically what they did is just took out the king and then you have a prime minister. Right? But before it was what the prime minister does, there was a king also. So they were running a country. They gave that up. They were top grade Brahmins. They gave that up. Right? You understand? They had all facilities. They gave that up. I mean, Sanatana Goswami to sit with 30 Brahmins and discuss Bhagavatam. How big was the room? And you can guarantee that wasn't like, you know, the living quarters and the kitchen, bathroom. That was just an area in his house that he could just have 30 Brahmins to discuss. So what kind of house is that? Good chance bigger than any house that any of us here are staying in. Right? And that's just that room. That makes sense? So we understand they had something, they gave it up. So the expert religionists know this, then they can show how you give that up, how you simplify. Right? But if we're used to no rituals, then we'll think, oh, we have so much rituals. Does that make sense? So we have to understand this is a very, very important element. So that's why it's given here, and that's why Prabhupada's commenting on it. Otherwise, why would it mention that Bhishma Dev, lying the arrow, then greeted everyone properly? Why would it say that? It doesn't get into other details, you know. Like that. It doesn't even tell how many, you know, the arrows or that, you know. But it gets into this detail. And this is Bhagavatam. Right, so detail in Bhagavatam is only if it's important in connection with devotional service. Yeah. Yes?
Would you say it's important for, like, now that the foundation of ISKCON as a society has been established somewhat, and it's for those devotees that are able to, or have the interest in applying some of these things that have been left out before for time changing circumstances, you think that's important for each person that has the interest?
Means it's within what Prabhupada's mentioned. What is, because in other words, what hasn't been done? You know what I'm saying? When Prabhupada was here, you had devotees chanting 64 rounds, you had devotees sleeping less, getting up early, you had devotees doing so much kirtan or so much preaching or reading or managing. You know what I'm saying? So it's a matter of there are things that our example has been given. So for the individual, yes, they'll apply those things into their life. But you don't have to go back into, well, you know, back then they did these 9 months yajnas. We don't have to do that. You know? Does that make sense? We just have to worry that we washed our hands, mouth, and feet before we sat down at the yajna. You know, that would be big. Yeah, yes.
Just for personal interest, would it be, like, offensive to do that?
Do what?
Like, would it be going over the top of Prabhupada's head if we were to...
It's not over the top of the head, it's over the top of your own head.
Okay.
Like that, you know. You know what I'm saying? You have to remember, pearl divers can go down 100 feet, but they've been doing it since they were, you know, probably 4 or 5. You know? Does that make sense? So, these things, they're not important. They don't enhance devotional service. That's why in Kali Yuga, it's already reduced down to what's essential, the chanting the holy name. Because in Satya, you're doing meditation and chanting. Right? In Treta, you're doing yajna and chanting. In Dwapara, you're doing deity worship and chanting. But in this age, you're just doing chanting. You understand? It's already been reduced. So we see what the devotees are doing in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's an example more for us to follow. You know what I'm saying? The Bhagavatam is the broader Vedic society. The principle is exactly the same. Right? So, what applies, Prabhupada will talk about it. He talks about the Varnashram and other things with that in those times. But, other than that, then it's not so important. You know, of course, next time, you know, any individual happens to be laying on a bed of arrows and somebody comes to visit them, of course, then they should greet them nicely as good as they can. But other than that, then it just means that if on a bed of arrows he can do this, why can't we do this, you know, and we're not at all that inconvenienced. Is that the sense? Yes.
So, would it be the reason for this concept that now it's a modern time, that the principle is not well understood enough, so that when the detail is presented, the Vedic detail, it's identified as something which doesn't solve the principle in the best perfect way? You understand? Like, because the culture, the Vedic culture, when you contemplate it, it seems to me it addresses perfectly that principle. It's already...
It perfectly addresses it, but it addresses it in the mode of goodness. So when we say modern, we actually mean passion and ignorance. Because when we say what's changed, because we see people's needs are the same. All you've done is change the mode, prominent modes that they're working under, and you add in some special, you know, mechanical or, you know, technological kind of element. But that was there before. Mahabharata mentions that Maya Dhanava offered the, you know, these knowledge of mechanics and machinery to Arjuna, you know, because he wanted to give him something nice. So being the architect of the demons, which it means your architect, and that means mechanics. Right? So he wanted to give him what he thought was very valuable. But Krishna said, don't take it. It's too much problem. Right? Because you chant the mantra, it works, but here it's you have this machines and stuff, they do things. Right? Does that make sense? It said that while Arjuna was seeing that the fire that nobody got out, the demons were hurling missiles at him. Not bows and arrows, not javelins, missiles. How did those missiles work? There must be some machine. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, these things were there. But, you know, Krishna advised Arjuna, don't get involved. You know what I'm saying? So, all you're doing is adding in that. What does that change? You know, instead of washing the clothes yourself, your machine washes it. If you're washing it yourself, you would take it, you'd put water, you'd soak, and you'd somehow or another, in some way, kind of like, agitate it. Right? Right? But since it's not conscious, it doesn't complain. Right? Could you imagine if your clothes are conscious? You know,
ow! Oh, man! How many? Is this going to be over?
Waterboarding.
Yeah, you understand? So, therefore... But the machine, all it does is add water, soap, and agitate it. The difference is it doesn't know how to rinse it quite as well as you would. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? If you hand wash it, it doesn't smell like detergent. Machine wash, it always smells like detergent until it dries. Right? So as long as you're in a cold environment, it doesn't bother you. But if you sweat, then it gets the detergent wet, it itches. You know what I'm saying? So all it's done is done what a person would have normally done. Right? And so if you have a washing machine, that's normal. But before they had, you either washed it yourself or you had someone that washed it. You know what I'm saying? So this whole distraction, it's the same thing going on. But there's this idea, oh, it's so different. Oh, people won't like this. Why? Because they don't have any tolerance. They have no focus. Right? You know, it's like before it used to be you know, you had some scene and people would stand there. And there'd be the moments, the dramatic pauses and all that. Now, if it doesn't change two or three times in a second, I saw something that's even quicker. It did like six different scenes in a second. Then people go, oh. You understand? So what does that mean? We're thinking, oh, it's a developing. But it means that their focus is so less that unless it's constantly moving, they can't even pay attention. You know? So one political cartoon, it says, you know, the kid's sitting there looking at the television, right? And he's saying, yeah, you know, it's just all this nonsense there that's constantly going on, bombarding our senses and this and that. You know, just to, you know, because people can't pay attention and all that, so it's much more intense and quickly moving and all this is his kid, you know, saying this to his friend, right? And then the friend, he comments that, yeah, no, that's really crazy. And then the kid looks at him, you're still talking about that? You know? You understand? This is modern. So the point is then you're going to say, and then what are you going to do? Okay, we adjust it for what, you know? And then it's down to the nanosecond, you know? What does this mean? Fortunately, it won't get any less, how you say, greater than an 11th of a second. Right? Because that you can perceive. That's why the film moves at 24 frames a second, because you can't see it. So 11th of a second, you don't have to worry. It can't get worse than that. So that's at least one good thing. Right? Something else will get worse then. Yeah.
I like your point about Vedic versus modern, because when I was indexing Prabhupada's books in the 70s, whenever there was the counter, you know, Vedic versus modern, he always slammed the modern and he'd always promote the Vedic.
Yes.
At the same time, I wonder if you can help me with this, because there are references in Prabhupada's books. My favorite one is Madhyalila CC 23105, when Lord Chaitanya is instructing Sanatana Goswami about the difference between dry renunciation and practical renunciation.
Yes.
And Prabhupada, he talks about time, candidate, and country. So there is a time factor. For example, he says, a candidate for Krishna consciousness in the Western countries should be taught about the renunciation of material existence. But one would teach candidates from a country like India in a different way. The teacher, Acharya, has to consider time, candidate, and country. He must avoid the principle of niyamagraha, that is, he should not try to perform the impossible. What is possible in one country may not be possible in another. The Acharya's duty is to accept the essence of devotional service. There may be a little change here and there as far as yukta vairagya, proper renunciation, is concerned. Dry renunciation is forbidden by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but we have also learned this from our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj. And then Prabhupada ends the paragraph by saying, the essence of devotional service must be taken into consideration, and not the outward paraphernalia. So he says time, candidate, and country in other places.
Yes. No, it's time, place, and circumstances.
So what...
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does it mean? Because the principles are timeless. We just have to know what's timeless. And
that's the whole point. That's what we're talking about here. We're just addressing that one point right now.
Okay.
It hasn't been getting into a practical application. Now we're just addressing that. You have to know what is the essential point. Mm-hmm. Then you can talk about making adjustment, but the you know, just like, oh, we can't wear a dhoti, we have to wear our karmi clothes. But that statement means they don't understand what they're talking about, because it's a detail.
Now, when Prabhupada did adjust that for book distribution, his principle was get out more most books as possible.
Yes, right? but how did he say to dress?
Like a gentleman.
And up-to-date gentleman.
Up-to-date gentleman, yeah.
You name me one person in society who's an up-to-date gentleman.
In
the whole society, the whole world.
Society?
Yeah. I can say that when they dress in karmic clothes that they're up-to-date and they look like a gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm just saying, so that's the point, is that, I know a couple, but my point is that Ambarish. Yeah, Ambarish, Bhavananda, a couple of them. Like that. Balaram, I got a brother in Australia, he used to dress well. I think Chidihari used to dress well. Govinda Maharaj can dress well. A few of them can do it. But that's not, they're not the ones talking. Because they can also wear a dhoti nicely.
They know the principle.
They know the principle. What is a gentleman? In other words, the point is dressed like a gentleman. And so, therefore, if you want to wear, you have to wear clothes that aren't, you know, what we would call our traditional clothes. But you should look like a gentleman. You know? A baggy t-shirt and a gypsy skirt, that's not a gentleman.
Gypsy skirt for a man?
You guess even better. The gentleman means the whole thing, because with the gentleman, then there's the lady, you know, the whole thing. So, you know. Yeah, and say, you don't even want to know what he's wearing. You know. You know, so the principle's lost. Yeah. Oh, we're Westerners, so, you know, how we live in the house, what does that mean? The point is supposed to be clean. It's supposed to be connected to Krishna. But how is it connected? It's fine if it is, but say. Yeah. But you can't say, so there, oh, that's for that. No, it's not. Yeah. We're just saying, okay, there's a couch sitting here. Why it's here? So what's the reason? Why this couch? You know, it could have been another couch. It could have been something else. But why this particular couch?
Mm-hmm. You know? In Bhagavatam 141, he talks about how to represent the previous acharya. He puts in italics. The intent, it must be intact.
Yes, the intent.
And so if you change it too much, like you say, if you go...
It's not a matter of too much, because there can be very different... I mean, Bhaktisiddhanta says what he talked about, like he said. He had three dresses, outfits for his preachers. You know, the one is just the standard Gaudiya dress. One was a three-piece pinstripe suit with spats.
Yeah.
You know? And the third one is they were kind of like in a black frock and black turban. So they kind of looked like a Indian, how you say, like Western mix of a priest. Like that, depending upon the situation. But when you see them, how they dressed in those things, they were first class. Then nobody looked like a slob. So when they say, oh, it doesn't look nice, that's because you don't know how to wear it. That's all. You know, that's the bottom line. It's not that, you know. Because, I mean, it's like I said, if you really look at it, I mean, you sit in the airport in Europe, people are dressed fairly okay. You sit in like, let's say, Singapore, Bangkok, Hong Kong, they're dressed very well. You sit in an airport in America, they are slop. I mean slop. And it's like every half an hour, somebody walks by that's properly dressed, and whoa. Wow. You know?
Who do they think they are?
Yeah. What's going on here?
So whatever enables that principle, that's actually subject. Whatever is enables.
Yeah, what is the element behind it? The superior quality, that's Krishna. The problem is it's not looked at the superior quality. Like we said, culture in your dress. You know, the communication that it actually gets through to the person you're talking to. These are the things you're looking for. Keep those intact, then you can change the other aspects. Those are details. But it won't be one way, because they'll say, oh, you can't wear a dhoti because the West is different, but the West has got also a lot of variety. You know, there are places you can't wear a t-shirt into, or sandals.
Still.
Yeah, I mean, I remember one day I walked into Harrods, I had my wooden shoes on, you know, and the cheddar under the arm, you know, so then it's not full cup. The guy stopped me at the door, you know, and said, what's wrong? He says, no, but the dress code, you know, like that. And some lady went by and, you know, kind of like a sandaly thing and a spaghetti top or something. And I said, well, what about her? He says, we're more liberal with the women. You just don't mess with that, right? And So then, you know, he says, okay, you know, and he called his superior. And the superior comes walking along, he's talking to someone else, and then he looks up. He goes, oh, Hare Krishna. No, he's fine. Yeah.
In DC, there's a whole room that disciples of Bhaktivedanta Swami have just to show all the different outfits in the war, to inject Krishna consciousness in all different kinds of venues and cultures.
Yeah.
And they were all first class, but they were so different.
Yeah. The whole point is it's that, because the point is you go and that difference, for the, it's always the same thing. Slovenly. It's always, you know, you can count on it. Shabby. You know, not, and no cultural aspect. You know, it's like fit for wearing in your living room when no one's at home. You know? That's the kind of, and even then sometimes you might be, yeah, no, you can come out in your living room. Yeah, it'd be too extreme to say only in the bedroom, but yeah, living room you could do. But, so the point is that principle's been missed. That's my point. So that's not time, place, and circumstance. Because they say, oh, you have to blend in. But people, you stand there, you go down there, go down to the, you know, whatever it is, the Kmart or this or that. Just stand there in the parking lot. And when you see the devotees come, you know, in their quote-unquote karmi clothes, you can tell they're devotees. Not because of the neck beads. Because they all look the same kind of slobbishness, you know. It's just, you can tell. Like that. So it's not that, oh, we're blending in. They don't blend in at all. Like that. That's the point. You know. So the time, place, and sin comes in here. Notice the interesting thing. On that is this, on that it's kind of a reverse. When Prabhupada is giving the example, is that the Westerners, you just teach them renunciation. Because there's nothing that they do is of value anyway. So just give it all up. Right? And he said, but the Indian, then it's time, place, and circumstance, because they're following the culture, but someone's attached, so you train them in the Grihastha ashram, how to engage that. Others, then the brahmacharis, others are this, that, somebody's rich, somebody's poor. Then you really have to see. But the Westerners, it's pretty straightforward. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, you know, like a wash your hands after you eat, you know, stuff like that, you know, it's like. So here's, because we're going to see, is here's Bhishma Dev. What can he do laying on a bed of arrows? He can't move his arms. He can't move anything. He can move his, you know, head a bit. But that's about it. So basically, with facial expressions only, he received everybody. This is the meaning of time, place, and circumstance. Like that. So it's an extremely important point. So when devotees say we have to be practicing, it's right. But whether they're applying it properly, that's another question. But the principle is very correct. That's one of the, why you see is this is being discussed and mentioned with Bhishma Dev. It's also time, place, and circumstance are a famous quality of Narad Muni. But he knew exactly how to talk to anybody at any time or circumstance. But it means he, you know, he has hunters, and not even nice hunters, nasty hunters, you know, as disciples. Dacoits, I mean, you know, go out there and kill them, dacoits, and take their money as disciples. A king cobra as a disciple. And he also has like Yudhishthira Maharaj and these other great personalities of the universe. So now that's a man who knows time, place, and circumstance. Right? Does that make sense? And there's a good chance he would still show up with his veena and not an electric guitar.
I saw a picture once with one who was with a veena, and then beside him was a picture of Jimi Hendrix, and it was exactly the same.
Yeah, Sotomayor showed me once when he was doing this study, when he was doing the Apasampradaya, and there was this book, it had all these pictures of the bowels. And every year they have their conference, you know, they all get together and have their big festival, and they all get up, you know, they have a stage, they all sing and this and that. So it's like some guys are singing, everybody else is sitting around, right? And this one picture, You know, so these guys, they have long hair. You know, they tie it up, but they're, you know, so absorbed that their hair is open. And they got these, you know, these funny little, these little ettar things. But the guy's holding it down like this. His hair is open, you know, and they're making faces. And it's just like, hey, this could have been, you know, any, you know, band, you know, like that. He just looked at him. He was laughing. He's showing, hey, the, you know, who are these guys in next life?
When Prabhupada showed the roadshow, which he allowed, because, you know, we came out of the Tommy culture, the the rock opera.
Yeah.
So he allowed us to do the rock opera.
Okay.
And then Prabhupada saw the rock opera. He saw it in a musk in Pittsburgh, the Syria musk. And he was sitting with Rupanuga, Maharaj at the time. And Prabhupada said, are those our men? And then Rupanuga said, oh yeah, that's Vishnu John, and because everybody had like Merlin the Magician things on and stars and just wild stuff, you know. And then and there's Gaudi and there's Arjuna and there's Hari Kesh and just okay. And then at intermission, Prabhupada left. I don't know if he knew it was over or not, but I think he'd seen enough.
Yeah, no, he did that here. The Manipuri dancers, the ladies, they came and did a program. And when they stopped for the break, he left.
And then it wasn't much longer after that that he actually stopped. It went for about a year. And then, it's a whole story of why he stopped it, but they wrote to him that we think this has run its course, we want to settle down now and make a yoga village. And this is 1972.
Okay.
So Prabhupada immediately said, no, this is not a good idea. It will become another hippie addition.
Yeah.
Because he knew just a few years earlier he had pulled some of the people in that roadshow out of trees, naked out of trees, at Morningstar Ranch.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So, that was a perfect call according to time.
Yeah. I mean, the whole problem was the tree, right?
But Prabhupada, he let us try it. And you see where it went with it.
It's also, like you said, it's the intent. Are they identifying with it or not? The point is if you're using it, you're catching people's attention, you're giving Krishna consciousness, it doesn't matter. But as soon as you start to identify with it, that's the moment that it's useless. Because he'll also say at the same time, the kirtan done like that, the mridanga playing done like that's useless. So as soon as it hits that point, it becomes useless. So it's not about what you're using. It's about the attitude it's used. So this whole fight about that you can do it, that's not the point. The whole point is it's about establishing pure devotional service.
So, and by the time Prabhupada stopped it, actually what happened was it changed leaders in midstream. Kirtananda Maharaj had started it. And he was good at cracking the whip. So good discipline between the men and the women. There was no nonsense going on. Mr. John Maharaj took over. He was a great inspirer, but he wasn't as much of a disciplinarian. And that started to get loose. So when by the time they wrote the letter to Prabhupada, Prabhupada knew, you know, that it wasn't really quite right.
Yeah. It just means you have all those, because the thing is it doesn't matter what it is, the focus is off. Because now, especially, you're dealing with a dangerous element. You're dealing with actors. Actors have to be, the director has to be a Brahmin. And so, otherwise, it just goes haywire. But at the same time, as soon as you identify with it, and there's all that attitude, that's when it becomes useless, right? In other words, how long does the prima donna stay at the top? Right, it's not long after that one becomes a prima donna that the younger qualified people start getting the main parts. That's the whole point, is no one wants to deal with the prima donna. If there's no one else, you'll deal. But as soon as there's an alternative, that's it. You just don't want to deal with them. Because it's the freshness is gone. Because it's not on the principle anymore. It's on the position, it's on detail, it's a, but it's lost the principle. So principle with detail, that's good. Detail without principle is useless. Principle without detail, it's not as ideal, but at least there's a potential to apply it properly. You know, so the difficulty is there, is it can go off by just them thinking that they're special, they're great also. It doesn't have to be that it's looseness between, you know,
right.
the parties.
That's just how it plays.
Yeah, yeah.
Manifested.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like that. And I'm going to say, yeah. We'll stop there before it gets even too weird. Like that, because we're talking about actors here, right? You know, so, yeah. Yes.
Then, not understanding the principle, all I'll have to adjust to is my conditioning. So I'll start to
yes.
my conditioning.
So it's the quality of your conditioning. Because if you drop the principle, you're dealing with your conditioning. And then whose conditioning is great? Whose the conditioning is special? Right? And you may have one quality here or there, but not for everything. So unless you cooperate, again, as a society, where you even are addressing the application by conditioning according to someone's, what do you call it? Quality, good quality of conditioning, that there's a useful aspect. You know, like someone, let's say, they're more cultured in dealing with people. They grew up with people, big families, they, you know, traveled around, met a lot of people, they knew how to interact nicely. So then when they say, this is how we should greet people and deal with people when they visit the temple, it's useful to take. Like that. But then some of the other aspects of it, then you know, what I'm so that's the thing, is that you always have to be able to take it back to the principle of Krishna consciousness that's required. And then from there, you can apply it. So that's what we're going to see, is that here he uses, again, there are different climates and situations in different parts of the world. He uses the same term, same time. And if one has to discharge his duties to preach the message of the Lord, he must be expert in adjusting things in terms of time and place. But that means just that you have to see what has to be adjusted. Because like what I'm saying is, like, if a Buddhist walks around in their Buddhist outfit, no one freaks out. In fact, I've generally seen when I go around, people who never saw devotees before, the first question is, are you Buddhist?
Yes.
That's the first question.
Yes.
It's not like they have the problem, Buddhist, you know. It's just, okay, cool. But we somehow or other have this idea, oh, no one will accept it. You know, it's like, you know, I mean, we look less weird than most things on the street these days. there's weird stuff out there. We're not it, you know.
I was in Birmingham in England a couple of years ago, and we were doing a program, and I was in full attire, and I was staying at a devotee's apartment in this high-rise complex, very posh.
Right.
They had elevators for the cars and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Because compared to their Birmingham and posh.
No, there's one building.
Oh, there's one building.
Okay. They're all there.
There's an exception there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So we were in the elevator, and there's this posh-looking lady, and she's looking at me, and you can see as that we're going up the flights, and she's getting closer to her floor. She has to say something. So she says, no, she actually gets off and then comes back and holds the door and says, are you Buddhist? And so, no, I explain, I'm Vaishnava, Hare Krishna. So you don't exploit people? No, we generally try not to. That is so cool. And then she left. that was pretty, so,
okay. Yeah.
Just by wearing the
tie. Yeah. Okay, so
that is so cool.
Yeah.
So she's posh.
Yeah. And English. Well, terrible. Better than Scornthorpe.
There are a few places.
Yeah. Or Manchester.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Okay. So again, so. Expert religionists know perfectly well how to adjust religious principles in terms of time and place. So how would they know perfectly well? Because they know what is the important thing of religion. Right? It's not the ritual. Right? It's the intent and the what you'll gain from the performance of it. You know, not the external form. It's the benefit you get. You know what I'm saying? Like that. All the great acharyas are religious teachers. Preachers or reformers of the world executed their mission by adjustment of religious principles in terms of time and place. There are different climates and situations in different parts of the world. And if one has to discharge his duties to preach the message of the Lord, he must be expert in adjusting things in terms of the time and place. Bhishma Dev was one of the 12 great authorities in preaching this cult of devotional service. And therefore he could receive and welcome all the powerful sages assembled there at his deathbed from all parts of the universe. He was certainly unable at the time to welcome and receive them physically because he was neither at his home nor in a normal healthy condition. But he was quite fit by the activities of his sound mind, and therefore he could utter sweet words with hearty expressions, and all of them were well received. One can perform one's duty by physical work, by mind, and by words, and he knew well how to utilize them in proper place, and therefore there was no difficulty for him to receive them, although physically unfit. Right? So here it says, so work, physical work, mind, and words, so that's what you have to see is being accomplished. Does that make sense? So that's what you're trying to get through. So whatever you're making an adjustment in, but what are you adjusting to? You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. That you have to make sure that it's working well. Right? Because there is the element of, it may be something that, okay, the karmis are going to be adjusted to it, but in fact, if you're going to make it adjust, so it adjusts perfectly with the karmi, the only thing that perfectly adjusts with the karmi is what he does in his own house. You go to the next house, they do it differently. You know what I'm saying? So you're not going to really get down to the detail there. Oh, it's their food. I mean, who eats that food anyway? You know, who does like that? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. It's you have to find what is the actual thing, because otherwise, we're just placating our own mind, you know, projecting what we would like, and then everybody else has to do that. Why is that any different? Right? So here this is your alternative. The great sages who see, you know, past, present, and future, you know, not controlled by the modes, or at least at minimum situated in goodness, they see what would be the best arrangement for the maximum amount of people. Right? You know, something that people will be able to actually dynamically elevate themselves. The activities will elevate them. Right? Some people may be left out, but you can't catch everybody. Right? Or a conditioned soul who's attached to their non-Vedic lifestyle. And then they're going to make the decision on what's good for the world. You understand? That's what you're dealing with. That's the actual point. That's why it says expert religionist. You know what religion is. Right? Religion means an inherent nature of something. That's the... Okay, so therefore, even though physically he couldn't do, but by his mind and words he could receive them. So that's what he says here. You know, the sweet words and hearty expressions. You know? So in other words, something nice and inspiring, you know, and pleasant. So you had all those different elements. So there's the pleasant or this or so kind you can come, and then the joking, the laughing, the, you understand? All that kind of element is all able to be done. That's what's important. We're fighting over externals, but no one's discussing actually how to behave. But here it's about how you behave. Then if he's at his home, then you'll see, you know, glasses of water, places to sit, feet being washed, the whole thing. You understand? That's the physical. But we only talk about the physical, but there's mind and words. Otherwise, why do we say time, place, and circumstance? Circumstance means the mind. Right? Because the circumstances, if there's the facts. But when we say, oh, but the circumstances weren't correct, what do you mean? The place didn't change. Sometimes it may be. You may say circumstances have to do with something's not there. But let's say everything's there, and it's all planned out, and then you go there, and somebody you weren't expecting shows up. It changes the circumstance. Why? Because there's one extra person there, or it's because the mood changed? Does that make sense? Place means what physical things are there. Right? Time means the action that will be performed, what's appropriate. But circumstance means the mind. So body, mind, words. Does that make sense? you get the same exact thing. So physically, you know, in other words, for the place, they had to make some serious adjustment. But what he's saying, how he's saying it, that doesn't change. Does that make sense? So if time, place, and circumstances, you know, you can say the place is different. You know, we said, oh, the culture is different. Okay, what is this culture? What's the culture? Can that be explained? What are people looking for? Oh, they just want to see normal people. What is normal?
Everybody.
I've seen people going with, you know, white face paint and a top hat, you know, and a black suit to, you know, formal programs. And in those programs, that was normal. You know what I'm saying? So the whole thing is what is this normal? Right? So normal means middle class, you know, and you know, America that I came from, that I'm familiar with. That's normal. Right? But then the problem is you have all these other groups in the same city. The higher class, you know, there's upper middle class, lower middle class, the poor, right? Does that make sense? Then you have the more eccentric, you know, they may be poor, but they're, you know, artists and stuff like that, you know? But then they're the avant-garde, right? That means, avant-garde literally means cutting edge, no? Yeah. So, you know, though they're poor, they're living in the loft or in the basement, like means, I don't know, every artist that I knew, they lived in a loft or a basement. You know, you don't live in a house, you know, you have to live in the basement or the law, you know, it's like some out of the way, you just don't live in, you know. So that's the whole thing. What is normal? That's the prime. So you have to be able to adjust each one with each thing. You know, it's like when the, I forget who it was, it was just somebody who later became a devotee, or he was what do you call this guy? Starts with a J. You know, they work for newspapers and always get you to say stupid things. Yeah, journalist. So the journalist, the journalist from the local kind of like you know, how you say, hippie, you know, magazine or paper or whatever it is like that in the Lower East Side. So he came around. And when he came in, you know, there's pictures all on the walls and all these people are sitting around and meditating and doing all these things. And, you know, he's walking in seeing all this and he goes back and, you know, they point out where Prabhupada is and he goes back there and says, oh, so this is not part of your process? He says, no, I don't know what they're doing. You know, the program starts in, you know, 5 minutes. You know, they do this, you know, this is their thing. You know, so that's the adjustment. You let them do their thing. It's not bothering anybody. You know, does that make sense? So it takes a lot of maturity to be able to do that. So it's based on so much Krishna consciousness. That's what it is. So you see devotees have made very expert adjustments like that on their presentation, their programs, their different things in the preaching throughout the history of ISKCON. But generally you see it's only the senior leading preachers are able to do it. So it's not just at a common thing because it's always changing, always adjusting. Yeah, does that make sense? Like that. So we have to be very, very careful in this. So that's why he says expert. Okay. Seeing the Pandavas sorrowfully sitting in silence by his side. Okay. Bhishma was overwhelmed by feelings of affection, so that while addressing them, tears came to his eyes. Knowing Maharaj Yudhishthira to be very disturbed, due to the great massacre that had taken place, Bhishma explained, "Oh, what terrible injustices you good souls had to suffer, along with your mother. And yet, because you are protected by the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas and religious principles, you are saved in each instance." Srila Prabhupada, verses 1 to 13. Srila Prabhupada explains the meaning of Bhishma Day's words. Maharaj Yudhishthira was disturbed due to the great massacre in the Battle of Kurukshetra. Bhishma Dev could understand this, and therefore he spoke first of the terrible sufferings of Maharaj Yudhishthira. He was put into difficulty by injustice only, and the battle of Kurukshetra was fought just to counteract this injustice. Therefore, he should not regret the great massacre. Right? So means in other words, he's saying these things, but at the same time as he's also instructing. In other words, he's catching the mood that they're at. This is time, place, and circumstance. You have to catch where the person is situated at the time. Then, from there, then bring them to wherever is their appropriate place. This idea is no, we'll just bring Krishna consciousness down to that level and then just leave it there. But the point is does it actually become, is it actually Krishna conscious? Are they becoming Krishna conscious? Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, the idea is that you start from where they are and you take them to Krishna. Right? Because how will Krishna come to them?
Through the devotees.
Huh? Through the devotees, right? But now if they're going to actually attract that attention of Krishna...
They must purify.
They must be purified. But purity only, that's what attracts Krishna?
No, it's
bhakti. Yeah, you understand? So this whole thing, just bring it down there and just leave it, it'll happen. No, it's what you have to show them how to, through the instructions, get there. So Bhishma Deva started with this. I do disturb, you say, oh, what terrible injustices, which is basically the whole Mahabharata is about injustices, right? Because that's popular. You talk about, just injustice, but everybody wants to know, right?
All the media, like, so all about.
Yeah, it means even then, most people talk about, if there's a more references you hear from Mahabharata or Ramayana?
Mahabharata.
Right? And in Ramayana, what do you hear about?
Sita was
left. Yeah, Sita was taken. So the injustice, that part you remember. Yeah. Niceness, how the kingdom was run, how this and that, and that not as much. Yes?
How do you actually practically do that? Like how...
injustices.
No. If devotees are attached to expressing or practicing in a certain way, then how do you bring them?
The point is apply Krishna consciousness in their situation. Just like they say, we're Westerners, so we're more comfortable living in a house with furniture. Okay. But how is that furniture connecting you to Krishna? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's the point.
They don't care.
They don't care? Fine, they don't care. But, Maya also doesn't care.
But then they're trying to impose that as like that's with dovetailing.
Nice, but dovetailing means you understand this connection to Krishna. You understand? The point is, it's not a problem that there is a seat to sit on. Yudhishthira Maharaj, there's a good chance he wasn't sitting on the floor on a kusasan during court. He's sitting on the throne. So the problem's not seats. Why is the general thing like what we have is like, let's say, a house where there are no furniture. It's just mats or some pillows. Because that's generally more simple. Because then you can do anything, right? It's just like, let us say you want to have a big program at your house, lots of devotees come over. Okay, so, you put the things around, they sit. Now it's time for prasad. You still only have one room. We're not like what we were talking about, Sanatana Goswami before, like that. So now what do you do? Yeah, but where do you put the sofa? Where do you put all the tables and the lamps and this and that? No, but if it's mattress and that, you just fold them up in the corner and hari bol. You understand? So it's a very simple lifestyle. It's a brahminical lifestyle. But it's not that you don't see that others, the business class and the kshatriyas, they don't have furniture. They have furniture. Right? But even if they have the things like that, then we discussed before, how they would do it. Of course, the place is clean. You have the stone floor and all that. Then you put the mattresses down. Right? Then on top of the mattresses, you put first class, pristine white sheets. Right? Then on top of that, then you put your Persian rugs. Right? Then on top of that, you put the actual mattress thing, the decorated mattress thing you're going to sit on. like that, and then all those pillows and everything, and then the tables and all that on this. So the table is, there is a table, but it's on top of the rug, on top of the sheet, on top of the mattress. Now that's a nice arrangement, right? And then that has to be cleaned every day, right? And so who does that? That's therefore Draupadi, had 2,000 maidservants. Otherwise, how do you do that, right? So, therefore, it's not a problem having furniture. You know? And then, your maidservant, Mr. Dyson, will, assist.
Yes.
you understand? So the point is it's not that. The point is how is their furniture engaged in the Lord's service? You know what I'm saying? Because we have no problem with furniture. Vedas doesn't have any problem with furniture. Vedas have the problem with somebody having furniture and not knowing why they have furniture. We're Westerners. We have to have furniture. Okay. Otherwise, if you don't have furniture, where do you put the old, empty pizza boxes and the Chinese takeout boxes and, the old, cans of fizzy and stuff like that? Yeah, yeah. Where do you put it?
No, I understand. I guess my question is I'm feeling like I'm in a junior position too.
So you don't bother. You don't worry about it. It's just in your house, you keep it nice.
But I feel like that's being imposed on me that this is what you're doing.
That's what they do. It's not what you need to do. It works for them. Just like, let's say someone has a cold. Okay? Now, if he goes to the doctor, what kind of medicine will he give him?
Appropriate.
Yeah, cold medicine. What?
For cold.
Yeah, for cold. Okay? So now, if they start saying, now everybody's got to take cold medicine, right? Somebody else has, a fever. Somebody else has a bad stomach. Right? Does that make sense? So this is the problem. It says, yes, it may be fine for them. Because that's the point. That's their conditioning. But the point is even if you say, no, you have to have furniture, people feel comfortable. Most of the time, I've been to most houses, I haven't seen nice furniture. I just don't remember. I once remember, I think it was an L.A. temple, that they had one devotee there. He was the president. He was a sannyasi. Young, and he hadn't finished high school, I think. But he used to twice a week lecture down at UCLA to 300 people, officially at one of their religion class, like that. But he had a room there, one room set up with furniture and everything like that, rugs and the whole thing. One in the whole Los Angeles scene, and that's quite big. And that was for people that he specifically invited over, so they'd meet there. But it was up to date. Problem is, you come back 20 years later, it's still there, and you know what I'm saying? It's just like, I think it's Soho has its up-to-date room like that, but it's so full of junk, it's a go-down, and it's really not up-to-date anymore. You know what I'm saying? So everybody has their quote-unquote up-to-date room, but who actually knows up-to-date? Up-to-date's expensive. Right? I mean, so you go down the street in the early morning on the day when you can put anything you want out on the street. You know that day? Yeah. How much furniture you see out there?
A lot.
So what does that mean? That couch has been thrown out and they got a new one. Right? But the temple doesn't do that. Bodhi in his house doesn't
just
do that.
Move from one place.
Yeah, they just move it over, and then you get another one. And you have two of them. So many places you stay. The sannyasi room, right? Like that. It's got all the furniture that no one wants anywhere else in the temple. It's all in that room, just lined. Lining the walls. It's just right. That's how it works. No.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? So if you want to be up to date, throw it out. Get a new one. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying is that the difficulty is they're not actually getting to the essence of the real point. Because we still haven't even discussed, why is it there? Oh, we need it. Okay, but why do you need it? What's the point? You need food. Why do you need food? Oh, it nourishes the body. Okay, that's a good answer. You know, and why do you need to nourish the body? You know, so that you have, you're in health and you can do service. Okay, that's connected now. Food's connected. But why is there sofa connected? Right? They got a delicate hiney or something, you know, so they can't, you know, they can't just sit on the floor. The floor's too hard. Or, you know, I mean, what's the point? Why? Yes? No? You understand? There's no question. Why that particular furniture? Why that lamp? You know what I'm saying? You can just go around this house and point at anything there, and generally there'll be no reason. But it has to happen. It's all Krishna consciousness. How? You should be able to explain it. You know, what's the thought behind why you have it? But there's no thought. So, if it's a matter of, no, I have to be in an environment that's just comfortable to me, I don't have to think about it, it's just the way I grew up. And so, then in that environment, then I can relax and then I can focus on Krishna consciousness. Okay, now that's an answer. But, what did that answer do? It showed that I'm not actually very conscious and I'm very attached to a very external, you know, lifestyle and identification. That takes honesty.
Nobody's going to say that.
No. And what's most fun is in the age of truth, right? You know, nobody can speak the truth. Right? You understand? So that's the whole point, is that then fine. Who can complain if that's what you require? Everybody's got their, you know, something that they got to have. You know? You know, that makes sense. You know, this guy's got to sleep in that little corner there, or that one's got to have this, or, you know what I'm saying?
Bhagavad-Pallava,
you know, something's got to happen. That's one thing, it could be consistent. It's just as you get older, the bucket gets a little smaller. I've seen little decorative buckets that are about this big, you know, nice brass buckets, you know, yeah. So, you know, that would work.
Yeah, I mean, it's regulated.
Yeah, so that it comes down.
Yeah. You get many of them.
Huh? Oh, they come in a group. Okay. Varieties of Hollywood. Okay. You understand? So the whole point is it's a valid point. Otherwise, why would Prabhupada talk about it? Why would it be brought out so much? But it has to be, you have to actually think why it's there. Right? And it's simple. You simply have to take it back to what does Prabhupada use? The superior quality. You know, cleanliness or aesthetics or practical or, you know, economical. You know what I'm saying? Why that couch? Because it's the only one I could afford. Right? Does that make sense? Or it was free. I did go out in the morning when everybody puts in the street. We picked it up off the street there, you know. You know, that is so old. This is the new one. You should have seen the last one. Yeah, because the last one wasn't service to Vaishnavas, because they'd sit on the spring, would poke them, you know. So we figured that was offensive, so that, you know, we're giving difficulty to Vaishnavas. So we threw that one out and got another old one. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. You know, even if it's up to date, it doesn't matter. But don't talk about up to date if things aren't up to date. You know what I'm saying? If the person is saying, you know, up to date, we have to have an up to date presentation, and it is up to date, fine. But it shouldn't be contradicted. It shouldn't be just a covering for their own condition. That's the whole point. The problem is not that they have conditioning. The problem is not that you engage in conditioning. The problem is we don't recognize it. You know what I'm saying? Like, what would be the fault right here? Here, let's take a typical kind of example. You have the big, physically strong guy. Really strong, big, and he's known for it. Okay? What happens when he gets a little sick? Does he acknowledge it? No, he won't. He's never sick. There's nothing ever wrong. No, I can do it. So, does it get better? No. So, we want to avoid that. We want to avoid... It means fine, you want to use a conditioning, but you have to know what it is to use it. You have to know what's important to you. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. Okay. And basically, you want to survive. Don't worry about everybody else's conditioning. Right? You just engage your own, you know, and try to stay out of everybody else's way, and it looks nice. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Therefore, you should not regret the great massacre, because it was the Kurukshetra War was done to counteract all the injustices all those years. He wanted to point out particularly they were always protected by the Brahmanas, Lord Krishna, and religious principles. Right? Because everything worked out. It's not that they got into a problem that is you could say this is bad. The problem is when a problem comes up, you don't get out of it. Right? That's a problem. Right. So here is they always got out of problems because they were protected by the Brahmins, the Lords, and religious principles. As long as they are protected by these three important items, there was no cause of disappointment. Like that. Thus, Bhishma Dev encouraged Maharaj Yudhishthira to dissipate his despondency. Because right? What's the problem? Krishna is there, religious principles, he's always, because he's Dharmaraj, he's always respecting the Brahmanas. Both in the way of you know, receiving and this kind of element, and hearing from. Right? Always great personalities are coming to his court and discussing and everything like that. Right? Okay. As long as a person is fully in cooperation with the wishes of the Lord, guided by the bona fide Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and strictly following religious principles, one has no cause for despondency. One has no cause for despondency, however trying the circumstances of life. Right? So, in other words, life is always going to be trying because we're in the material world. This idea of, no, if I do all this right, the material world will turn into heaven, it's not necessarily so. That's not the point. We're talking about going back to Godhead. That's where the solution is. Not here. Right? I mean, so here it'll become as nice as it's possible. You know? And nice as possible is never as nice as you want it. Don't worry. You know? Because as we see, you know, Indra, they have all those personalities on Satyaloka. So Satya, Maharjana, Tapya. Those four, they're all higher than him. So they have powers that he doesn't have. They have life, but they have a lifespan that he doesn't have. Even though he's the king of the universe, still they have things that he doesn't have. And so there's always that thinking about it. And then they have what that then Brahma has. And then Brahma, as we saw, went to Krishna's court and he said, went to the doorman. He said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Brahma." And he said, "Which one?" What do you think? What do you mean, which one? He says, "I am the Brahma. Hey, you know, I'm the man, you know?" Like that. So he says, you know, went in and told that. He said, you know, "Wait." And then you have all these other Brahmas, you know, more heads than he's got. So now it's like, you know, hey, I mean, a million heads. Wow. You know, what could you think about with a million heads? Right? That would be some serious, serious thinking. Right? I don't know, he doesn't seem to talk. I think he just uses them all together. But Ravana, he could talk to his head. Yeah. They could all have a conversation. You know, he didn't have to have a court. He just met with his heads. Yeah, because each one was expert at a different branch of Vedic knowledge. Yeah, so then, you know, all his heads are there and he talks with this. "No, but according to this, then this will be like, no, but over here," then, you know, so they'd have a whole scene going on.
Literally hearing voices.
Huh?
Literally hearing voices.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Right, it's literally talking to yourself.
Yeah.
But don't call him crazy. You'll regret it. Yeah. Okay. Oh, and turn the page. Because they have the same kind of thing here, and I was trying to find, you know, but no, we already read that. Mm-hmm. Bhishma Dev, as one of the authorities in the line, wanted to impress this point upon the Pandavas. So it's an important point to impress. Because here, is all the facilities they have, all the different, what they should be having for while they're behaving. Right? But it's not like, I'm doing this, why aren't I getting the results? No. Because they're doing this, they have the association of the Lord and the Brahmanas. Right? Because they always follow the religious principles no matter what. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
But it seems here that unless we have the association of the Vaishnava, it's difficult to serve the Brahmanas.
Well, here when it says Brahmanas, it means Vaishnavas. It also means Brahmanas, but it's not necessarily in our... In our capacity, then you would take it into Brahmanas, meaning Vaishnavas in general, and then also the element of senior Vaishnavas. Right? So you have Vaishnavas as juniors, Vaishnavas as equals, as friends, Vaishnavas as seniors. So then you would look at it like that. So all those three aspects of Brahmanas. Right? So, because we don't necessarily bump into a lot of that they are classically identifiable as Brahmanas. You know, as you see the head pujari, you know, exiting the pujari room in, you know, some kind of karmi outfit. You know, it's hard to, you know, put it all together like this. But, you know, there are people that are typically Brahminical. Not necessarily Vaishnavas. Maybe, may not be. You know, so we're, you know, in most important, in other words, this is the principle. One can say, well, where are the Brahmins to serve? You know, so, but it means Vaishnavas, so that we have. So that's the adjustment of time, place, and circumstance. Right? So general devotees is one thing, second initiated more, you know, more senior according to post or realization, more than that. Does that make sense? So in that way, then we have all these gradations. Right? And then we have the Lord, right? And then we have the instructions, the principles of practice given to us by the authorities. So you follow the what's recommended in one's practice and lifestyle. One associates with the devotees. One worships the Lord. Then one's good. Yes.
So actually, as a devotee, we should search for a good association, as you described,
yes.
Not for the facilities. Facilities are there, then it's fine. If not, then we shouldn't really.
Yeah, it means if it's between good facilities and good association, take the association. Because the facilities never make anybody happy. Because the point is whatever you're in, then you move to that new facility. For some days, weeks, it will be inspiring. But then only those aspects that are very much in tune with the nature, the conditioning at that time, that will just be taken as normal and just you won't think about it. But everything else is going to be anything that's not exactly perfect, it'll start to bother you. And then again, the need to improve. And sometimes in improving one thing, you lose something that's very comfortable. You know what I'm saying? You know, just like the old t-shirt is very comfortable, you know, but the new one looks better. You know, that's the whole. Yeah. 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 It's always fun. Yes.
Maharaj, what are the considerations when we have our previous conditioned nature and we're trying to utilize it in Krishna service and our position in the Varnashram system, some things may appear to be incompatible. Like now as I'm approaching the senior brahmacharya and one step front, and I'm running around playing trumpet and doing these kinds of things.
So the point is who you're playing trumpet for.
Different scenarios, sometimes out in the street in New York in the Harinam and sometimes in different places in India are doing.
No, you missed the point. Who are you playing for?
Krishna.
Yes, yeah. That's the point. So then what does it matter?
Because different devotees have different perceptions of what's appropriate according to Varnashram. And then I don't want to disturb those devotees.
No. But the point is here, why are you playing this trumpet?
Uh-huh. It's my conditioned nature.
But the point is okay, that's it. Whose horn is it that you're blowing?
Everything belongs to Krishna.
Okay, so then what's the problem? And you know, skills, I mean, especially music, gets better with age. At least it's supposed to. Right? You know what I'm saying? So then, if you have an 80-year-old musician, does anybody get bent out of shape? I mean, you know, how old are the Stones? Like, those guys are, they're bona fide wrinkles. You know? I mean, bona fide wrinkles, you know? Yeah?
The thing is, some devotees saying some things are appropriate for...
No, but that's not according to you, because you gave the example of you getting older and stuff like that, and then playing the trumpet. So, is it trumpet and age, or you're talking about trumpet and situation that you're playing?
Trumpet and varnashram.
Trumpet and varnashram.
I'm supposed to be going for this sannyas list, so some devotees say it's not appropriate for a sannyasi to be playing a trumpet.
So they want you to play, like, what, French horn? More dignified. Let's go with the oboe or bassoon. Or maybe you should get into timpanis. That would be good. No one gets timpanis, right? You get the ones with the wheels, you know. You drive the truck up to Times Square, roll them out of the back of the thing, set it up there, and you already have a crowd, right? Just setting up, you'll have a crowd.
I think they'd be happier with the kartals.
Kartals. The point is if it works, then why not? You know what I'm saying? You know. So, I mean, okay, if you're at the Rainbow Festival, can you play your trumpet? You know, or is it better? Maybe there you should play an ocarina. You know what I'm saying? He said, if it's seen as that it's culturally not so great, then you don't play. You know what I'm saying?
Utility. If it works in that place, do it.
Yeah, and if it doesn't, don't worry about it. You know, I mean, I know one sannyasi. He was always first chair trumpet, but he doesn't play trumpet. You know? So I thought, so then. That makes sense? You have to understand what it is you're dealing with. So if it's a matter of setting an example, you don't want everybody out going out and getting a trumpet. You know what I'm saying? It means you had a trumpet as part of your baggage. But they shouldn't go out and get a trumpet. You know what I'm saying? What I found the best use in Krishna consciousness of playing a wood instrument that's got that kind of mouthpiece is you can blow conch shells like that, because otherwise then you may not be able to, you understand? So that's your most perfect use of that. Hey, what do you call it? Okay, so what's the word? Embouchure? Yeah. Is that okay?
And sometimes too.
Yeah, you can do too. Yeah. You can play them at different notes or something. You know, that's really good. Now, don't play Yankee Doodle on the conch shell. and really don't do it on a chauffeur like that. That's not good. Okay. Bhishma Dev, as one of the authorities in the line, wanted to impress this point upon the Pandavas. In other words, he's taking their mentality and mood, not telling them, oh, you're just in Maya. He's starting from there. Yes, it is injustice. It shouldn't have happened. But you've always been protected because of worshipping the Brahmins, the Lord, and religious principles, right? And so they've been protected. So that's the real point. Not about that the injustices are there. That's because you're in the material world. But you've gotten through them because of this positive behavior, right? You know, what's recommended by the scriptures, what Krishna wants. Does that make sense? And we'll see here, Prabhupada always brings it out, is that they're doing it as devotees, but they're presenting themselves as just general people. Right? Okay? Yes? No.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Chaitanya Gaurav ki jai.